Okay. All righty. Let me make sure I've got my handouts here. Okay, folks. So here's what's going on. Between the anxiety class and this class, I don't know who knows what. Because we're kind of covering similar-ish material, but not quite the same. And so what might be useful is I'm going to put up the different handouts, going to just talk about what they're showing briefly. And then how about we just ask a question? What are you confused about? What do you not know that you want to know more? And let's just, because on one hand, I don't want to repeat things a million times and you're kind of like, all right, Karen, heard that. On the other hand, I don't know. I've really lost track of where I've said what. And so, and I haven't had time to go back and watch any of these recordings to double check. So let's do a share screen and let me, let's do, okay. Oh boy, there's so much good stuff here. I don't know. All right. Should we start with the eight limbs of Patanjali or should we start with the, okay. Eight limbs of Patanjali, thumbs up. Or if you'd rather start with the chakras and the nadis and the flow of prana and how that relates to karma and precipitation of matter and that kind of thing, do thumbs sideways. Sideways. Either one, sideways, up, sideways. Okay, you got to hold them there. Okay. You neutrals. Okay, I think we've got a couple more sideways. Okay, so let's start with the precipitation of matter. Let's finish that conversation. And we'll talk about, so let me share this screen. Okay. So you all have these handouts, right? Okay. So let me look at, what is this other one here? This is the flow of prana. This is talking about the three realms, the flow of karma. So let's talk a little bit about the chakras before we come back to this one. Okay, so let's come back up here. All right, so you guys can unmute yourselves so that this can be a little more of a dialogue in a few minutes here.
Can I ask one question right
off? Please. Yeah.
Is, I know this is just a linear picture, right? Because these cross over back and forth. Okay.
Yes.
I just
like that.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
So this is what they do. And so this diagram is actually for you to maybe print several copies of, and it's kind of a teaching tool. It's like, if you want to, you can write the Sanskrit and the English names of the chakras. You can write the Sanskrit, the English, you can write the element, because chakras are referred to by earth, air, water, earth, air, fire, water, ether, or space. They have their Sanskrit names. And in the Kriya tradition with Goswami Kriyananda, this whole system is tied also with astrology. Because if you remember this idea karmically, the moment of your first breath is that moment your karma, that's the imprint of your karmic patterning in your body. And in the Eastern and South Asian traditions, this idea that there is an internal cosmology is what they call it, that mirrors the external, that we have an inner world that is mirrored by the outer world. In other words, everything is connected. So there is a sun in our solar system. We have a sun, we have a moon. They are both luminaries that shine on us, which is why the sun and the moon up here are split. They're luminaries, as opposed to chakras. There's no way to do this in a linear way. So just let's hang in here and somehow it'll all get tied back together. Chakras are where, can you see this? This is the lunar channel, right? It flows up and it flows. This is the pole. It's flowing up and around and around and around, coming up. Solar channel is going the other way, around and around. Anywhere these two streams of energy cross is a vortex. And that vortex of energy is a chakra. It's a chakra. So the base of the tailbone, where they're connected, zoom. Earth, physical world, dense chakra. They're moving up. They cross again. That's called the water chakra, or the, I'm not going to give you the Sanskrit names yet. We'll do that next. And then they come up again and it's the fire. So tailbone, perineum, first chakra, earth. You come up and different traditions will say it's in different places, but they're all somewhere around. If you put your fingers on your belly button, your index finger on your belly button, about four fingers down and four fingers in, that's a chakra. The others will say, and most of you will feel it in the sacrum, which is that nice little indentation in your lower back. Okay. That's the water chakra. You come up again, they cross at the navel center, which is fire. And say that later. And then we cross up again and it's the heart center. And you know these two probably very well. The gut, the solar plexus, the navel center, the heart and the throat are the ones we are aware of, whether you want to call them a chakra or not, right? And then the throat chakra. And let's see, do I want to look here? Yeah, so let's not go here. This is just a two-dimensional diagram. Okay, there's tons of diagrams on the internet that you can find that show the shape of the body with the location of the chakras within it. Okay, the purpose of this one is to give you the names for the tailbone, which is the earth chakra. In Sanskrit, it's Muladhara, which means the root. It's the root chakra. Now, are there chakras below this? Yes. They're very, very dense. They're known as the Talas realm. And Kriyananda was just, it's like, don't even go there. It's like, don't go there. It's like it's dense, it's heavy, it's sticky, and it's really, really hard to pull out of. Okay? Which doesn't mean that the vasanas might not have something to do with those realms that we talked about in the anxiety class yesterday. But generally speaking, we stay in the torso. Okay, the lower back, water, is called the Svaristana, which is the seat of the soul. And my pronunciation of the Sanskrit has no bearing on the real pronunciation. So don't even think that I know what I'm talking about when I say these words in Sanskrit. As those of you were in the class yesterday, I just did this workshop that right beforehand with this guy, and the pronunciation of these people who this is what they study, these academics, it's just so beautiful. And I just was so aware how I'm an American pronouncing this gorgeous language. But Svaristana, seat of the soul, this is actually also known as the Dantien, the do or the hara. Hara, Japanese. Dantian, I think, is Chinese, and the do is maybe the Tibetan, something like that. But it's that it's they don't the more Buddhist traditions don't talk very much about the root chakra. This seat of the soul, this chakra right here, is for them where everything begins. And the way I've made sense with this in my head is, oh, because we've got the physical realm. This is the realm we all share in common. What we're interested in is how do we begin to expand out of that? How do we begin to expand out of this? And so a lot of the Buddhist techniques, if any of you ever want to do more Buddhist study, their more advanced techniques will take you not down to the base of the spine, but into the do, into the dantian, into the hara. Those are words are interchangeable for that. Okay. There was something else I was going to say. I forgot now. Shoot. Any questions on that? Because I know there's different systems out there, and I know a lot of you have studied this and you've learned different systems. And so I just want to be clear, this is a system, but since we also pull a lot from Buddhism, I just wanted to give you a little bit of theirs also. So Kelsey, yeah.
Is this the same as the sacral chakra?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's be clear. When we're studying a chakra, we're going to say, they're going to tell us there's a bindu. Which is a bindu is a point, a tiny, tiny point. Bindu is an important word, an important word. This idea that there is a seed, there's a point. But there's petals, and every chakra has a certain amount of petals. And the petals of the chakras relate to the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet. But the field of these chakras is not just this bindo. They're three dimensional, and you can feel them in your body. Mm-hmm. There are some traditions that don't even talk about the spine. They literally talk about a channel that moves just up through the center of the torso. And when you're in your heart center, you're really not in the spine, are you? You're in the center of the chest. So chakras, they have a bindu. They have a point. That's in the Sushumna. The bindu of the chakra is in the Sushumna. The poles of the chakra are the Ida and the Pingala, the two force fields. It's kind of like, you know, the two poles that spin around the bindu. The field of the chakra is bigger. It's open.
How do you spell bindu?
B-I-N-D-U. B-I-N-D-U. Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah. Okay. So let's not go there yet. Okay. So navel center, fire chakra. Sanskrit word is Manipura, which means the island of jewels. Now, before I talk about Island of Jewels, look at the elements here. We go from earth to water to fire to air to ether. What's happening here is we're going from dense earth, physical world, everything around you, root chakra. You get less dense. It becomes more fluid. It moves, right? But there's still some solidity. We'll call it water. What evaporates water? Heat. So the next phase up is this heat, this fire. And from there, it becomes air. But what's less dense than air is what we call ether or space. So each chakric level is a higher vibration of the chakra below it. So it's important to recognize that the chakra is not just one thing. the root chakra is not just earth. Everything that is a component of that earth chakra is also in the upper chakras, just at a higher vibration, less dense. It's all interconnected. It's all connected. And one of the things that happens when we study the energy body, the chakras, with the pitfalls we can fall into really easily is that this energy is out of the navel chakra, the fire chakra. This energy is out of the heart chakra. This energy is out of the earth chakra, the root chakra. Everything, it's just a higher vibration of what's each chakra is a higher vibration of the one below. So there's fear, as we said yesterday in the class, there's fear in the root chakra. There's also fear in the navel chakra. There's also fear in the heart chakra. There's also fear in the throat chakra. It's different. I don't know a better way to say it right now than.
Depending on the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's at. Okay. Exactly. So it's kind of like astrology. We have all the signs. We have all the planets in us. And so now you're saying, I've been studying chakras for a while and I have been individualizing them. So, and trying to understand, something didn't make sense. So you just put the puzzle together. Thank you.
Yeah. No, and this is one of the reasons I love my guru, that this awareness, right? Yeah. It just, everything makes more sense in this system for me. Yeah. At least. So yeah. Do you need to memorize the Sanskrit names? I'm going to stop share for a minute so I can see everybody. I don't know. Let's ask Lisa and Agnieszka. They teach yoga. Do you guys memorize the Sanskrit names or do you use English names? What do you guys do?
I personally don't talk about chakras in my yoga classes.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, Lisa, what about you? Same?
We don't get into that very much. And I mix, even in post-wise, English terms and a little bit of Sanskrit, depending on the audience.
Okay. All right. So there you go. I think let's learn the element of each chakra. Mm. Know that it's earth. Know that it's water. Know that it's fire. Know that it's air. Know that it's, you can call it ether or space. Okay. Let's use that as our common terminology. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. And if we ever move into more advanced study, we'll use the planets because that's what my guru taught. And the planets actually capture the larger essence of the force of that chakra. Better than these other terms, but I haven't yet ever made the switch to just constantly calling the chakras by those names. And, you know, there's some point where you got to and I'm not there. So let's go with the elements because that captures this idea that with your breath, the energy, with your thoughts, you are precipitating from the unformed into the form on the way down. And as you come back up, the karma that is moving through the chakras, the heavy, dense karma is in your root chakra. As the karma moves up through the chakras, it becomes more internal, it becomes more subtle. It's like the karma of the earth chakra might be, I'm making this up. Let's see if this analogy works. Might be, you know, that you're in a car accident, right? And it's a definite physical event. Cars are crashed, your body's broken, bad things happen in the physical world. The karma of a heart chakra could be betrayal. There's nothing you can touch there. It's an intense feeling of betrayal, right? So the karma that each chakra is holding that's going to fire for us is different. based on this idea of precipitation of matter. And as we move back up through the chakras from dense to more subtle, more subtle, more subtle, which is what, let me go back to sharing. This is what this other diagram was for. So, okay. See, this is what I do. I get carried off in a direction. We hold that thought. We're going to talk about the denseness of the karma, but let's finish going through this. Okay. Because what I want to get back to is we talked about Svadhisthana was the seat of the soul. Manipura means the island of jewels. And this idea of the island of jewels is important because it's a reminder that this human incarnation, this human life is precious. Precious. This is where you have the opportunity to experience all of these things move into new levels of awareness and practice sustaining your awareness so you can sustain it in more subtle, subtle states. There's things we can do here in the earth plane you can't do in the dream world. You can't do in other places. We come to earth. And so Kriyananda would say that this, the fire chakra, the island of jewels is where we've all incarnated because this is the level of consciousness because our umbilical cord, we are attached to our mother here at this chakra, the umbilical cord right here. This is the level of humanity at which is the fire chakra, which is about, you know, assertiveness, asserting, you know, yourself. It's about, it is what, you know, this part of the human consciousness that is very much about conflict and force to get your way. Okay. We move up to the anahata, which is the heart chakra, the air chakra, and the anahata means the unstruck sound. And it's really a beautiful, the anahata chakra, which we'll be working a lot with our techniques at the retreat, when we go in there and I say, what is the feeling? What is the sensation in your heart center? I don't even know how to explain this in words, but when you're in there, there's something in there that's alive and open and tender and beautiful. And it's a experience of something you can't put your fingers on. It's like I can touch this and it makes the sound. When you're in the heart center, you don't need this. Something opens up. Something wakes up. There's something in there that is as rich and vibrant as striking this bell. And it's already there. It's already there. So to me, when I hear the unstruck sound, it's about that experience of something that is not, it's already there that I'm discovering as I allow myself to open, be aware of the heart chakra. And the reality is for most of us, this is where most of us are really stuck. If you're here in this class, if you're doing this, you're not stuck at the Mars chakra. And I'm not saying this to, you know, pat your egos or something like that, but there are a lot of really, really angry people who are concerned about power and position and things like that. This stuff is of no interest to them. Kriyananda would say that our journey is to move from the Mars chakra. The purpose of this earth life is to move from the Mars chakra to the heart, up to the heart. And what I'm going to say is if you are here, it's because you're already moving there. you're already coming into this awareness. And there's more, and you know it. And there's a part of you that is longing for that awareness of the open heart. And I know I spent most of my life, because I'm this sensitive Cancer. I really care about people, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, my heart is open. I have an open heart. I went for an acupuncture treatment. This is probably over 30 years ago. The guy goes, whoa, your heart center is really closed. And I was like, what the fuck? And he was right. It took me decades to realize, as I was doing this work, that I may not have been living, you know, is densely in the fire chakra, the Mars, the earth, you know, chakra as many people around me, but my heart wasn't open. It was shut tight, protecting itself. And it's in the process of living my life, showing up for my life, showing up for my, all of the hurts and the protections I placed on my heart, in my marriage, in my growing up with my children. It was showing up doing this work that I realized, as my heart started to open, that I started to realize how shut down it was. Because it's really easy to fool ourselves and think that if we're a little nicer than the person next to us, that our heart is open. It doesn't really mean our heart is open. It means that we're here because we know there's more. We know. And so all of these techniques, all of these, little step here, little step there, just like we said with Kelsey earlier on, right? You do these different works, you come back to sipping breath after a few months, your sipping breath has changed, right? You just work on this, work on that, work on whatever's showing up. And so the day's going to come, you're going to realize your heart is open in a way you didn't even know was possible. And we can only do that when we learn to stop resisting, when we can release attachment. And so not to keep harping on the retreat, but this is what we'll be working with in the retreat, is opening this and the heart, opening the sun center and the heart center and merging the two. Because there's a place beyond the anahata, the heart center, which we work with the breath, but there is a deeper heart. There's a deeper heart that is in the wisdom, where these two centers merge, and there is a wisdom, there is a compassion, there is an understanding that hopefully you'll experience. So the whole point of this conversation is to let you know that yes, there are these chakras. The anahata, the heart chakra, is an important chakra. For many of us, it's closed up. The techniques we're working at the retreat are to open up these centers, which are the most balanced centers in our body. As we open up this center, and we can bring that connection down into not just the anahata, but the energy field behind it, which has its own name, the Hridaya, which my pronunciation is probably really bad. When we merge these two, when we bring these together, we tap into something that is at the core of who we truly are. That is connecting us to something so much. I don't know. It's like we're back to tasting chocolate here. You will touch it. You will touch it at the retreat. You will touch it at the retreat. That's the techniques we're going to do. So we can do this by how we live our life. Doing the yamas, niyamas, showing up for what we do in our life, showing up with awareness and doing the hard work of, you know, like Ramon, you said so beautifully yesterday, the hard work of just staying one more second before we open our mouth and say what we used to say 3 seconds ago. Now it takes us 4 seconds to say it. That's hard work, and it's necessary work. But the work we're doing at the retreat, when we work with the breath, when we do these things, they affect all of this. They soften our karma, and they help us It's like you need both is what I'm trying to say here. We need both. And what I want to, never mind, Karen, stop, stop. You know, sometimes when I'm not saying things clearly, I try and say more and more and more, and it doesn't really work. So you guys get to look at me going, Karen, you're not making any sense anymore. Just stop. You know, that's okay. So let's go back from Anahata. Let's go up to the throat and the sun and the moon. And then we'll come back to the precipitation of karma and matter. So Anahata. Your hearts are opening. There is no doubt in my mind. I guarantee you there's more to go. And that more to go is rich. It's rich. It's rich. So let's move up from the heart center. We have here the Vishuddha, they call it the pure. Actually, I'm looking at that pure going, really? That's what they call it? And it is what they call it. It's pure. But in Kriyananda's teaching, he has this beautiful way of describing the purpose of the throat chakra, because it is the center of communication, right? I mean, this is the chakra we think of most closely connected to our speech. But the Vishuddha chakra, the Mercury chakra, is in Kriya, we would call it the Mercury chakra, is not just about your speech. It is about your thoughts and your dreams. This, the ether realm, think of it as the subtle realm beyond where it's so subtle. This is the realm of thought. And this right here is the communication point between our higher centers up here, but we're mainly talking about moon and sun, and the heart. This is the messenger between these two very important centers in our body. And Kriyananda would, and so astrologically, Karen, don't go down this road yet. Save it. Okay. Let's just stay with this. The symbol used is Mercury. And Mercury was called the messenger of the gods. And so this chakra is the messenger between your higher sun center and moon center and the heart center. And our journey is connecting the two, merging the two, bringing the two together. Okay. And as we talked about in the anxiety class, remember we talked about if I want to clear my desk, my hands move everything around on my desk. I can sort through all my files, shuffle all my papers, put everything where it needs to go. My hands can clear out this entire office and Marie Kondo it, right? And simplify my life. If I want to, what is it called? It's not called Kondo. What is it? What is her technique called? The Marie Kondo. What is it? When people are doing her technique, they say they're Kondoing it. What are they? Has anybody done Marie Kondo? What is it?
No.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you all know who we're talking. Marie Kondo is the one who's all about clearing out everything and loving and caring. The point is my hands do it in the physical world. My thoughts clear out my karma. My thoughts are the hands that change my brain, change the patterns in my mind. It's the thoughts that have the power to change us. So this chakra here is an important little chakra. Important little chakra. Okay. And then we have the sun, Ajna. It's actually Ajna, but that's hard to say. Ajna chakra, Chandra chakra. And in most systems of yoga, they're not going to talk about it this way. This is our system. Okay. And the reason we gaze here when we meditate is because this is considered the wisdom center. It's the most balanced point in the body. Whereas the other chakras have 4, 8, 12, 16, 32 petals. There's just two petals on this chakra. One is the sun center, one is the moon center. There's not as much karma held up here as there is in the chakras below. Okay? And then up here, which you've probably all heard of, open the top of your head, and most systems will say there's a chakra up here. In our definition of chakra, which is where the two channels of energy cross and create a vortex of energy where the karma is stored, that's not happening up here. This is a open receiver. Now, it's a 1,000-petal lotus that opens and it closes. And sometimes you'll be meditating, you'll feel the top of your head get kind of vibrating and tingly. And sometimes at retreat, you really feel it. I used to love going to retreat with Kriyananda because my whole would be like, boom, I feel like I walk around feeling like I got this weight on my head, you know? And I remember going up to David, who some of you know, I went up to David and I'm like, is there something on top of my head? Cause I figured David could see shit, you know? You know how Kriyananda, these people ascended beings, they see stuff. I'm like, oh, maybe he can see it. I'm like, what's on top of my head? There's something pressing on my head. And he just kind of looks up and he just smiles and goes, it's just open. It's like the lotus has opened. And this is why when we visualize, lots of times we visualize energy coming down through the top of the head, right? And flowing down through the body. This isn't a place where karma is stored, where two currents are crossing each other. This is an opening. It's a literal opening. Mirrored by the fontanel, right? With the baby, the newborn baby, that soft little opening, right? So this is where energy moves in and out. In some traditions, this is also where the soul exits the body when you die. Some traditions, you exit through the Mercury chakra, the front or the back. Some you'll exit through here. They say, not to scare anybody, but they say we really don't want to exit the body through any of the lower chakras because it means you're going to reincarnate at that level of energy. So all the work that we do is so that we can more consciously leave from the Mercury chakra, from the sun center, the moon center, or through the top of the head when we die. Is this way too much? Have I overloaded you? I have no, I just love this stuff. So I could like keep talking about it. And I'm really refraining from getting too bunny trailed here because there's just fun stuff. And I was like, keep it simple. So are you following me? Have I lost you? Mm-hmm. Questions? Haven't lost you. Okay.
I'm following you, but I have to admit I'm getting a little zone, like,
it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's.
I'm really tired today, but yeah, I'm starting to fade a little bit.
Okay.
You can bunny trail all you want for me, but.
What was that, Kathleen?
I said you can bunny trail all you want for me. I like it.
Yeah. And I really want to, but I think I'm going to save this next part for after the retreat. Let's go through the retreat and then we'll talk about. Some of you have heard about the silver cord or things like that. Let's save that for afterwards. I don't want that to enter into any of the stuff we do there. So let's take a break from all this for a few minutes and just let some of it settle. So you can even think of what you don't understand and what you want to ask a question about. So what if we could either talk about your books or we could take a little break and then come back and ask questions. I'm leaning towards let's take a break because I just know when I was learning this stuff, my brain would get thick and it would be kind of like, this is so cool, but you know, so what if we take a break? How's that? Let's come back at 35. After, you know, the 35, whatever your time zone. And then we'll see where your brains are and go from there. And don't worry, we'll get it all covered over this few weeks of the summer here. This is kind of what's on tap for us is this kind of stuff. And, so we'll get there. And Agnieszka, how are you doing? You got a few more minutes?
Yes, I thank you for you felt my thoughts. I just want to let you know that I may need to leave like in 10 or 15 minutes, but okay. I'll just disappear. Good seeing everyone, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Okay, everybody else go on break. I'm going to ask Agnieszka a quick question, okay? And so have you already been down to see Renee?
Yes.
Oh, neat. And so where are you guys going now? Are you going down to the coast again, or are you?
No, I think we're going east to the Mount Hood.
Okay.
And then probably 2 days there, and then to the coast. And my friend is leaving around, I think, noon or 1 p.m. on Thursday. So I'm going to be at the airport. I drop off my friend, the car, and I'll just take the shuttle with
Dina and everybody. Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what time? Because
I have not. I kind of turned that over to Darcy. So I
okay.
So depending on whenever the last people get in.
Okay.
You know, we'll have everybody meet a half hour before. Okay. But I will remind everybody is, you know, the airport, as you know, it's a lot nicer inside security than it is. I don't even know if the restaurants are open outside of security. I haven't been there in a year.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. When you go pick up your friend, are you just going to meet her at baggage?
Yeah.
Okay, then it doesn't matter. Well, okay, so at any rate, I'm just so glad, tickled you got to see Renee. How is she doing?
Oh, they are doing wonderful. She is. She's now making pottery, and they're all, you know, riding their bikes, so they feel all stronger and healthier. And
oh, neat.
Yeah.
And so are they doing any more documentaries anymore?
They stopped that about a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 2 years ago. So now, they have a new website with pottery. Renee's making amazing pottery.
What's her website? Do you know?
I think Rasa. R-A-S-A.
.com?
Rasa Pottery, maybe. I'll look it up. And yeah, but the name of the company is Rasa.
Oh, I'm so happy for them. Happy for them. Yeah. Is she teaching at all?
Not formally. But I spent, you know, probably like 10 hours with her. So she is.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah. Yes. We spent some time together on Friday and yesterday. And I left this morning at 4 a.m. to make it here to... That's okay. I'm, you know, I'm full of energy. I don't, you know, I'm on vacation and I love this shit, as you say. So I don't mind. I love it. I love it all.
Well, I'm glad I'm tickled. I'm just, you know, talk about somebody with an open heart. You know, she is a beautiful, beautiful soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So wonderful. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to go run in the house real quick.
Of course.
And replenish my tea, and I'll see you in a few. And just leave when you need to.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. See you soon. Thank you.
All right, my dear.
Bye.